Melissa, it is so cold outside.
It is cold, and it's not going to get warm anytime soon. So, you know what we need to do? We need to keep ourselves warm with heat holders.
Okay. Well, I do love heat holders. I will say this has been the first year in a lot of years that my toes have not been numb from October to March.
Yeah. And you know what I love about them is that heat holders has all different kinds of socks. So you can, you know, basically use them in like a thermostat. You can turn them up. You can turn them down. You can get thinner ones. I mean, you can pick the right socks.
Yes. And the best thing about heat holders, especially the originals, which is probably my favorite, is they are 7 times warmer than regular cotton socks. And they feel like cashmere, y'all.
They're soft,
luxurious.
And then they have the lights, which have a thinner profile for like casual situations, like sports shoes. And those are 4 times warmer than regular cotton socks.
I mean, altogether, you can find the sock for you at heat holders. I'm so grateful
for them.
They even
have the ultralights.
Yes.
So if you just want everyday socks, 3 times warmer than cotton socks, you got ultralights. So you got originals, lights, and ultralights. You do?
I do.
Because you're just walking around.
My feet are not cold. The rest of me is very cold.
Well, you know what? Then you're in luck. If you go to heatholders.com, you can find all kinds of winter wear, like hats and gloves and all the goodies.
So you can get your heat holders so you will be warmer this year too. No numb toes for you. Go to heatholders.com and enter the code MJH and save 15% off.
MJH, that's me, Melissa Joan Hart. you can go to heatholders.com and on your order, you'll receive free shipping with any purchase of $25 or more. So don't freeze your butt or feet off this winter, guys. Remember, go to heatholders.com. Use the code MJH. That's heatholders.com. Heat holders, making life warmer. Hey, everybody. Welcome to What Women Binge. We are so excited to welcome our dear friend Annie Potts here. Annie,
hi. Thank you for being here.
She's an icon.
So much to talk about. Oh, my gosh. Let's start with Young Sheldon, because that is what you're like. I know that you're heartbroken. It's ending. But is it like bittersweet? I'm sure it's like bittersweet. Like
It is. It is. I mean, you know. We're a family. We all love each other and are used to spending our days with each other. So it'll be a big shift. And it seems like they've canceled us at the height of our what we have to offer. So I don't understand it.
Is there something about the prophecy of like, what has to happen in Big Bang Theory, like coming back and having to play out? Like, is that difficult? Like,
well, I think that does have something to do with it because, you know, the father has to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I've been saying that for a long time and everybody gets all like, wait, what? And I'm like, well, if you know Big Bang Theory, there's a story there already.
Wow. Do people really care about being strictly hewed to some? I mean, it's like, you know, they can, I don't know. Hey, they,
I know it's
for whatever reasons that are not understood or shared with, they wanted to end the show. I suspect it has more to do with money than story.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I have noticed the industry has changed, especially after the strike, that like everyone's saying they need content, but nobody's willing to pay for it.
Right. So we're in a change up time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's fun.
For sure.
I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to doing new stuff as much as I have enjoyed that. It'll be fun. It'll be fun to do something new.
But I know
if someone will hire me.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think you're going to have a problem, Annie.
Just go on your IMDb and it's like, I was looking at it today to be like, what have I missed? Like, what have I forgotten that you've been a part of that like, you know, and it is just so extensive. You have been on everything that ever exists, like every show, every wonderful movie. You worked with every big director. I mean, it's incredible.
Well, I have been doing it almost 50 years.
Wow.
I don't know how that happened, but
you're only 26. Yeah. So how is that possible?
Right. Like how?
Yeah, really.
But you still look it. Well, I'm sure as Mima, like of all the characters you've played, like, I mean, I always say this is like picking your favorite child, but like what would be your favorite character of all? Like, I mean, we're talking Ghostbusters, Designing Women, Pretty in Pink, like all these things, like what would be your.
Well, I did a show on Lifetime called Any Day Now. and it was about race. And of course, I'm Southern, you know, and those issues have always been my at the heart of who I am, what I understood as a child, what I saw, Jim Crow, all of that, separate bathrooms. I saw that as a child. And so those, all that stuff was important to me, subject matter wise. And I had a wonderful acting partner in Lorraine Toussaint, and the writing staff was just beyond fabulous. And it was a very democratic set. You know, we were just all on the same page. And it was so thrilling to do that material. And I think, I mean, even now, I don't think anybody has written about race as well as they. So that was totally my heart project.
So you could jump back into that character, you would, for at least a little while?
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to.
That'd be fun.
Maybe well, it's...
So I have to tell you, this whole thing came from you. Like, What Women Binge was kind of... You were sort of the catalyst for me wanting to do this podcast, because...
What?
When I was directing, so when I was doing Young Sheldon, and we went into the COVID era, and I was directing a few of the episodes, and I was on set with you, and I remember Jason Alexander, I think there was one conversation the three of us had, but you and I would always have these conversations, but like, you would always feed me with what we I should be watching. And I'll never forget you suggesting The Great. And I was like, it would became my favorite show.
Oh my God. Why did that show go largely unnoticed? How on earth did Elle Fanning not sweep every award? I mean, it's astonishing.
She is phenomenal.
Yeah. And Nicholas Holt is like my favorite part of it. He's just brilliant.
And so dreamy.
You suggested
even
that
though
show.
You want to hate him.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I that is a mystery to me how that is not, you know.
But you suggested that. Jason has suggested another show. Ian suggested I watch Only Murders in the Building. Like, everyone is talking about, like, what should we, you know, especially during COVID, like, what should we watch? What should we watch? My girlfriends in Connecticut started a spreadsheet of, like, somebody give me a good book. Somebody give me a good podcast. And I was like, you know what? I should start an Instagram page. So I started an Instagram page of, like, reviews of things you should watch, or, you know, if you're lost and don't know what to watch next. And then that became the podcast. And that was kind of all from, that's all from you, like, giving me great suggestions and being like, I want to share these with the world.
Well, I do think that it's sort of a new golden era of TV, because honestly, the big movies, and I have one coming out, and the fifth Ghostbuster. I've been doing the same movies for 40 years. I've only done, if you look, it's like I've done two movies. I've done Toy Stories. I've done three of those. And I've done five Ghostbusters. It's my whole career. Anyway,
there you go.
Those are, Ghostbusters is made for like 14-year-old boys, basically. Although it's a little twist, young girls. I mean, this movie is going to be, I think, for girls, what Taylor Swift is, you know, in musically. And we have the wonderful McKenna Grace.
I know she's going to be on our podcast soon. I think she's amazing.
Oh, good. She is so lovely. And man, that child can act.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's crazy. And so you've got the Ghostbusters. She and I have the Sabrina. She played little Sabrina.
Oh my
God. So we have like a Sabrina. I mean, not with me on the remake on Netflix. So we never even worked together until I directed her on Young Sheldon. And I got to meet another Sabrina. It was the first time I ever met someone that was like the same character as me. So it was cool.
I was coming back on the airplanes from somewhere the other day. And I love Allison Janney so much. And her performance in I, Tonya was so great. It offered that on my selection of things to watch on the plane. And so I started to watch it. And there was McKenna Grace as little Margot. She plays tiny Tonya. And she's like seven or something. And
Little bitty.
And of course, absolutely fabulous in difficult emotional stuff for a little girl. And man, she was just sensational.
Yeah, she kills it every time.
I love her to pieces.
You know, I have a similar story. It's funny. We on Young Sheldon, she had to have like an almost kiss with Sheldon. She's like pretending to kiss him, and then she like draws a mustache on him. And so we had to have this. So I was like really delicate with this. Like, okay, let's clear the set. Let me talk to her. Let me talk to him. Let me get them together. You know, it's going to be awkward. You're going to look at him. He's going to close his eyes. You know, so I was trying to like be really delicate with what might be their first almost kiss, like not kiss, but like an awkward situation.
Yeah.
That night I go home and turn on Handmaid's Tale, and there she is as one of the wives, one of the commander's wives. And I was like, oh, like
she's not a big deal for her.
I mean, no. It might have still been. I'm glad I didn't know that beforehand, that I could still handle it like with kid gloves. But I watched that and I went, oh, she probably didn't need all that, like me dancing around it and trying to be delicate. Yeah. But I'm glad I did. But so that's fine. She does. She handles some. I mean, in Handmaid's Tale, she blew me away. And like, I mean, she's just her. She's already had an insane career. But anyway, we're not here to talk about her. We'll talk to her next week. I want to talk to you. okay. So tell us about, what can you tell us about Ghostbusters? It comes out this week. Well, when we record this, it's earlier.
It comes out the 22nd of March.
Yeah, we're going to air this on the 21st.
That is in relationship to where we are now.
Yeah, we're going to air this Wednesday before.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm seeing it for the first time next week. But I have a nice role, and I think it's very good for women too. I mean, McKenna Grace, of course, is kind of the new lead of it. And she represents, women. She's playing, I guess, 14 or something like that. So the young girls are going to get it. And then we have the wonderful Carrie Coons, who's also out there, you know, like action figure, doing the ghost busting. And then there's, me representing the mature women. But I get my flight suit and, I'm ghost busting with the boys this time.
You are
at 71. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So fun.
40 years. I finally got my flight suit. I had to be, special effects and action hero. Right. I mean, we're all in our 70s now. It's hilarious. The boys could barely stand up with the packs on their backs and then would have to run. And I, who've broken every bone in my body, was like, wait, what? The car's going to try to kill us and we have to run? Shit. So, but anyway, I have a nice little payoff after 40 years doing it.
And wait, so that's what I was hoping. Make, like, are the flight packs like super, super heavy, and can they make lighter ones?
Well, I mean, these are the proton packs that, the lasers come out of or something. I didn't have to carry that. I have a new weapon. It just fits on my arm. We have some new tools in busting ghosts.
I love it.
It'll be fun.
Oh my gosh.
I know Brain, who's watching this right now, producing this show for us, he's probably about to crawl through the screen. He's so excited.
Boys of all ages, girls of all ages. It'll be so fun.
Yes. It's lovely. I think, they had to have the new gen to pass it on to. I think, they'd like to make it a franchise like the Marvel movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because people just never tire of busting ghosts.
No, I mean, ghosts are always something people are afraid of. So awesome. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Can you tell us let's go back to Young Sheldon for a moment. What is what will you take away as sort of like your favorite episode, your favorite memory? What was your, Meemaw's such a fun character, and you've just played.
He is so fun. I the first episode I appeared in, which was the third episode when the series began. Yeah, because it was just like a moment that kind of set the character forever. George has had a heart attack. they have to take him to the hospital. They ask her, Meemaw, to come over and babysit the kids. And she, you can tell, like, she didn't really want to do it. And so she shows up and she's rooting around in the refrigerator for something to drink. Because if you've got to babysit, you know, you need some drinks. And anyway, she looks in the refrigerator and she says, she finds something. She goes, what kind of Texan drinks pink wine? Anyway, of course, then she proceeds to drink an entire bottle of pink wine. And that always just tickled me. Yeah. And it kind of set her up for the whole, you know, 7 years there.
That's such a good one. That's a really great one. And in this season, so your house has been taken down by a tornado, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you've got your gambling, your casino. What? Not a casino.
It's an illegal casino.
Illegal casino in the laundromat, right? That's a
apparently. Apparently, this happens.
Wait, what? For real?
Apparently, they have these little gambling rooms that are not quite legal in Texas. But then, you know, it's Texas. There's a lot of shit going on in Texas.
There's a lot. That is true. That is a good way to put it. And then I just like, I mean, one of like an all-time classic that you're in is, I mean, outside of the, like you said, with Toy Story, of course, with playing Bo Peep, right? And that's, I can't even imagine, like, do you get to go on to Disney?
Are you coming back to the new Toy Story?
Did I get to go to Disney for a week?
Do you get to go for free? Well, of course you do. You're a celebrity.
You know, my children are sort of over the going to Disneyland phase. But I do have a little friend. I have a couple, but they're still tiny, and they're 1.5 and 2.5. But pretty soon, I hadn't thought to ask for a free pass.
You need to take advantage of that. You're Bo Peep, like you get to do that.
I'm a walk around. They call them walk around characters. When you have just like Pinocchio and Mickey and Minnie and Pluto and all the Disney characters, they put the big heads on and they walk around Disneyland. So I think once you're a walk around character, you do get some privileges and perks, maybe.
Yeah.
So when they're a little older, I can't wait to take them.
Oh,
are you?
How weird to have your grandmother be a walk around character.
No, how awesome!
How weird to have your grandmother's voice, and I have a particular voice. That I'm sure. Look, it's been weird for my kids, and it'll be weird for my grandkids.
Yeah, but fabulous also.
Yeah. Are you going to be in the new Toy Story?
You know, I don't know.
We got a campaign for that.
It takes years to do them. It takes years to hatch the idea. I mean, it's like 5 years from, so I don't know.
But what an amazing thing. I mean, the joy those movies bring to families like mine, like, I mean, and the kids that grew up with it, the ones that were little when Andy was little and then grow up with Andy and are Andy's age. And like, you know, like my nephew, I know always felt very like it's like part of their childhood. So it gives me chills. Just like,
they follow the whole thing. I mean, when Andy goes away to school, oh, please.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a tough one. Hey, Amanda, you know how we always give our guests really great socks?
Yes.
Well, I just found some new socks and I think you did too. Dr. Motion.
I love Dr. Motion socks.
Dr. Motion socks are awesome. Here's the crazy thing about Dr. Motion. It's a wellness brand.
It's a wellness brand, but for your feet. And it benefits all parts of your body, really.
They have mild compression socks, which are ankle length to knee high. They're smooth. They're reinforced toe for optimal comfort and durability, which is great.
I wore them on a hike this week. And let me tell you, girls' feet held up.
Yes. And good. The compression tights are awesome for being on the airplane. They help me with circulation and, you know, they just
hurt that they're cute too. When you think of compression socks, you don't always think cute. But I got compliments on mine. And yours have tiny mushrooms.
Mine have tiny mushrooms because we're in a mushroom phase right now. And there's mushrooms are hot and I like my mushroom socks. And the graduated compression tights have full leg support to reduce leg fatigue.
Yes. And for our diabetic customers, they have the most comfortable diabetic socks. They are non-compression and they've been designed specifically to keep the needs of diabetics in mind. So there's no binding Lycra and the graduated cuff allows maximum stretch.
And look, no matter your age or gender, whether you're a nurse, a mother, a teacher, a traveler, an athlete, someone who stands all day, someone who sits all day, they're great for everybody. And the spring summer collection just launched on the website.
So go check it out. Have fashionable, comfortable, healthy feet. All you got to do is go to drmotionsocks.com and check out the products and explore the whole new collection.
And it's Dr. D-R Motion Socks. drmotionsocks.com. Check it out. Explore the new collection.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
This decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Have any of your boys left for college yet?
Well, my first one is about to. He's about to. He just turned 18. I have an adult child. I literally today said to someone like, oh, I have an adult child. I just had an adult child. No, wait, I didn't just have, like, I don't even know how to explain it.
He is an adult. He just became an adult.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm just getting there. All that empty nest stuff is starting to, my husband and I actually were talking about it today. We're like, what are we going to, he's visiting me right now in West Virginia while I'm filming a movie. So he just came in for like the weekend to hang out with me. And I'm like, oh, we're talking about things like what happens when the kids are like, we're just starting to have those conversations and it's, I don't know. It's scary, but.
How old is your littlest?
He's 11. So it's still.
Okay, so you got 7 years.
Yep.
You got 7 years.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I have, as you know, I have three sons as well.
I know, we're three boy moms. We're both three boy moms.
I hear there's a special place in heaven for us.
I hope so.
I think that's probably true.
But, yeah, it's when the first one leaves home. That's really hard.
Yeah.
That's
and you have,
really hard.
Are near you. Are they all, do they all live near you?
They live all over the place. My oldest son is here and he has a baby of his own now. And,
I met that baby. You invited me over one day and I got to meet the baby.
Then my middle son lives in New Orleans and my oldest son lives in New York. So I've got him on every coast.
Yeah.
But, my middle son is staying with us right now. He's working on Young Sheldon.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, because after the strike, no work in New Orleans. So he had to come here for a little bit. But when that first one leaves, man, it's like when one of the boys, I took the boys, the second one, I think, to college, and they had a little thing for the parents before the parents are supposed to leave. And the college president said when my son went off to college, he said, I felt like I'd lost the best job I'd ever had. And I thought isn't that sweet?
That's
like,
so sweet. 'Cause
that's the feeling. It's like, and what did I do wrong? Why did I lose that job? It's like, because you did your job well and you completed it.
Yeah.
And it's very, I think I feel the same way about Sheldon. It's like, why am I not going to have this job anymore?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's a wonderful product. And so it's hard to let it go, even if you're sending it off into the atmosphere of the greater world, but it's tough.
That's interesting.
Feel yourself.
I had a lot of TV shows that ended, but we didn't know for sure that they were ending. And it was only my third show, Melissa and Joey, that we knew for sure we weren't coming back on. And I have to say, like, I always, the last few episodes were so hard to get through, just grieving. I'm never going to get to play. Like, I didn't really miss my other characters as much as I missed that. And I was like, I never get to play her again. I never get to embody that again. I never get to be her again. And like, I mean, I can in like my living room if I want to, but nobody's watching. Nobody's laughing. So it's like, you know, I'm like, it does. It's like a little piece of you like goes away. And I guess, oh my gosh, that's what it's going to feel like. I literally today spent this morning planning his graduation party. And I'm like,
oh gosh,
I don't know. I've accepted
it. Where does he want to go to school?
He doesn't
want to go to school.
This new generation, these kids don't want to go to college now. It's very strange. And like, he wants to be a pilot. So, So that's a great career path
already.
He is a pilot. But he has not kind of moved as fast as he could have. He sort of stalled out in the last year, had the senioritis and stalled out, like, for lack of a better, stalled out with his pilot training. Because I think now he's like, okay, I got time. But I'm like, no, let's do something. Like, so it's a little failure to launch.
How does that work? Do you just go to pilot college?
So there are colleges that have, there's like Embry-Riddle is a great college for like aeronautics in Florida or Arizona. There's schools like Auburn, Purdue. Some of them have like, I think like Louisiana Tech has one, Bowling Green.
MTSU here in Tennessee.
Yeah, MTSU is a great one in Middle Tennessee. And so there's options for college, but there's also like 2-year flight training, but you have to get 1500 hours to become a commercial pilot. So it's like a lot of work. So we'll see. But he is an aviation enthusiast.
Have you been watching Masters of the Air?
No, I can't wait. It's on my list.
No, what is this?
Oh my God. You have to watch this with him. It's so thrilling. My father was a pilot in World War II. He actually was a flight instructor, so he never saw active duty. But I'm telling you, you watch this, and well, first of all, the aerial footage that they get, you go, oh my God, how did they do this? How did the actors, you know, be in like a fake airplane and they're being shot at, and the wings on fire, and they don't have.
For a TV show too, right? It's Apple.
Oh
it's
my
Apple
God. Show,
I think. Yeah.
But it's.
I'm writing this down. I haven't even heard of this.
Oh my. Well, Spielberg and Tom Hanks produced it.
Oh,
so
then it's going to be gorgeous.
It's big. Every episode's going to be like a movie, right?
It's so intense.
It's awesome. Austin Butler is the star.
I can't sit down. Yes. I can't sit in a chair and watch it. I have to stand up.
Really?
You can't believe these kids and your son who wants to be a pilot. You should watch it because there's like 11, I don't know, 9-11 boys on a plane. And the oldest, who's the captain, is maybe 24.
Mm.
They were kids.
Yeah.
Kids up 15, 20,000 feet being shot at and having 100, you know, fighter planes. I mean, it's just.
That's wild.
Your son won't hopefully have to face any of those kind of things. But I think you'll all really.
Yeah, no, I really want to watch it with him. I wonder if he'll, you know, he's 18. I don't know if he's going to watch anything with me right now, but I'll try. I'm trying to get him to watch Pulp Fiction.
Even if he watches it on his own.
He what, Amanda?
Even if he ends up watching it on his own, it could be really.
Yeah, yeah. Or we both watch it and then talk about it later. I'd be okay with that.
Oh no, this is definitely something that you can watch together.
Okay. All right. When I get home from this movie, I'm going to see if I can maybe, I'll pull on the heartstrings a little, like, come on, do something with mommy before you move out. Like,
if he watches 15 minutes of it, you'll be hooked.
Okay. I'll tell him Bo Peep said he has to watch it. And then he'll be like, oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Oh, so, wait, I want to talk about Pretty in Pink real quick. Can we talk about that? Do you mind?
Sure.
I mean, such a classic, such an amazing movie. Like, what are some of your memories from that that you can share with us?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, it certainly has endured. And I think one of the reasons that it has is that John Hughes was so great at understanding how teenagers feel. Mm. And I'm sorry that I don't know anything offhand anyway that is speaking to teenagers as he could embody them. I mean, he's a grown man. It's like, how do you as a grown man know what teenagers are feeling? But he was just genius at it. And it's so sweet. And Molly Ringwald was such a lovely touchstone for all girls then. It was just lovely to do. I was 32, I think, when I did that. And I was like, you know, I was the old woman then. And I felt old at 32. Boy, I was stupid about that.
Well, because you're surrounded by 22-year-olds, right? So it makes, I mean,
I think Molly was like 19.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, I did Dancing with the Stars and I was 32 and they made me all, even though there were celebrities on there that were a lot older than me and went up, but I remember that time people making me feel old for the first time where I was like, oh, okay. Like, I was always the baby on set, and there's that one day when it shifts and you're like, oh,
okay.
Yeah. Well, it's still shocking to me. It's like, wait, I'm the grandmother?
Yeah.
I'm the old woman? What?
Yeah. The movie I'm on right now, I think I'm the oldest one on the whole crew. I'm like, this is weird. So I normally find bras to be really uncomfortable and constricting, but I have to tell you that Skims has changed everything. I have been wearing Skims now for a year and recently just tried their bras, and I am madly in love.
I will never go back. I preach the gospel of the Skims bra to legitimately every friend we talk to.
Yeah, even the underwire bras I'm wearing all day, I barely notice I'm wearing them. I don't want to take them off, like rip them off me when I first get home.
No, and historically that has been me. Like, I come home, I take off my hard clothes, aka the underwire bras and the jeans, and I get into my soft stuff. But with Skims, I don't feel like I have to do that anymore.
No, and Skims is also creating the next generation of underwear and bras for every body.
And it literally fits every body.
Yeah, right.
I'm telling you.
I'm actually wearing mine right now. I'm wearing my Fits Everybody push-up bra in Onyx.
Me too. I'm wearing my Fits Everybody t-shirt, which yeah, I love. Really. I love the push-up too, but the t-shirt bra is like, it goes with everything. Y'all, I'm in pajamas right now and I have on a bra. Why? Because it makes me feel good.
And when you take the clothes off, like date nights just got better because it's so comfortable. You don't even notice you're wearing them. And then like, you know, all of a sudden you're in your sexy little, you know, skimpies and...
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day to us.
Right? Skims bras are made with innovative technology to give you the best shape and support.
Plus, every bra is designed with the comfiest and softest materials, so you'll feel like you're wearing nothing at all.
Yes, Skims offers a complete system of bra solutions for every need and style, and their bras are available now in 62 sizes from 30A to 46H.
It's incredible. Believe the hype. I'm telling you, we love these things. We would not tell you about them if we didn't love them. We'd live in them. Skims has over 100,000 five-star reviews for a reason, y'all.
Yeah, Skims bras are now available at Skims, SKIMS.com. Plus, you can get free shipping on orders over $75.
And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
Yes, please support the podcast by letting them know that you love our podcast and you love Skims. And if you're looking for a gift for your Valentine or for yourself, Skims just launched their best Valentine shop ever, also available at skims.com. Thank you, Skims, for sponsoring What Women Binge.
I was always like, the world freaked out the first time Melissa played a grandmother. The internet went wild.
I played
a grandmother
last year. Yeah, I played a grandma. It was fun. Look at Annie's face.
Wow, I'm just trying to do the math on that.
47, you know, if I had my kid at 20 and she had, yeah, I mean, like, the kid's supposed to be about 12.
It could happen.
Yeah, those are, yeah, that's a generational change up, I guess. Wow, okay.
Yeah, it was a true crime movie. My granddaughter kills, well, it's a three-parter.
Oh,
my daughter and my granddaughter, it's one of us kills the son-in-law, and which one of us did it is sort of the idea behind the movie. But like, wow. It went viral that like I was playing a grandma, but I'm like, I'm 47. Mm. Like I could totally play a grandma. So, you know.
Yeah, you could.
I mean, Betty White was playing like Golden Girls from the time she was like 42 or something, right? So,
not really? Is that true?
Maybe
they
not
were
that
way
younger.
Young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Sex and the City girls now are the same age as the Golden Girls were. Like,
no.
They're like in their, wow. When they were in their 50s. Like, yeah, they were. Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. It's just how we used
that
to look.
That is crazy.
Like, I think you look younger with like, I mean, and of course things change, but like, in designing women, like the way you'd wear your hair or something, it might even make you sometimes look older than you do now playing a meemaw on Sheldon. You know, so.
Right. It's styling. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, styling is everything.
Yeah. And something about that 80s style made everyone look older. It was just,
yeah.
Doris Roberts was always.
I couldn't do my roots anymore. It's like a full-time job.
Yeah.
Because, so I just went. And so I'm just, this is my hair now.
I love it.
I think actually I look younger with my real hair at this point.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It suits you. It's so fun.
It really does. Yeah.
A little wild, little spunky.
You've always been super stylish.
Yeah.
So wait, tell
I
us.
Like it, and I don't even have to comb it.
I love it.
It's so good.
Wait, so you're like the godmother of all things What Women Binge. So tell us what we need to be binging besides, okay, Masters of Air. Have you seen the new look yet?
Uh-uh.
Oh, that's on Apple too. It's Chanel Dior kind of vibing it out during World War II.
Yes, I heard.
You've got your notepad. I've got my phone. I'm like, what are we watching?
The new look.
The new look.
But it's kind of like Masters of Air. It's got that look to it. It feels like every episode's like a movie, but it's got these great characters. It's based in this time that really, you know, it's kind of real stuff happening and World War II and, you know, just fantastic.
Right. That's been on my list, but I couldn't remember the name of it, you know?
Yeah.
I can't remember
anything. It's a strange
name. But lines. I can't. Yeah. Have you seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
No, but I heard it's amazing.
Like,
it's fantastic.
Yeah.
The movie? Is there a new show?
No, there's a new series out with Danny Glover and who's the woman?
All
but,
right.
Everybody on the
set. Her name, Maya Erskine.
Maya Erskine. Yeah.
And she is sensational. She had another show called Pen 15.
Oh, yeah.
Which translated... And if you're a teenager, she's like John Hughes. She got into the mind of teenagers. Pen 15 is a he if you're in seventh grade because it looks like a penis.
On a calculator.
So she, at like 35 or whatever, plays a 12-year-old in seventh grade with her best friend from college who looks a lot older but is so awkward. She kind of pulls it off as a seventh grader too. It's genius.
Super fun, yeah.
And in Mr. and Mrs. Smith, she and Donald Glover, they're both writers, which is interesting. And he writes and directs some of them.
Okay.
But they have such chemistry. It's thrilling. Just thrilling.
Yeah.
Well, thrilling TV. The list.
That's awesome. Well, we have some questions we ask all of our guests. Can we ask you some of these questions?
Absolutely.
All right. Is there a movie that you feel like you should have watched, but you still haven't?
Oh God, that list is so long.
Just give us the number. Like,
you know, I have been working so much for 50 years. I just, and between three children and that, it's like, I miss most movies.
Mm-hmm.
I like it now that you can, you know, for all the Oscars, they just, they, it's an app because I'm in the Academy and I can watch all of them. But the, even that, there's too many to watch of that.
Yeah, there's a lot. But
what did, I was thinking, you know, Lawrence of Arabia. I think I haven't seen I think I haven't seen it at the movie theaters, but I've seen little bits of it, and I'm just wondering why Peter O'Toole has so much eyeliner on.
That one, whenever I watch it, I'm like,
I can't.
They're in the desert. Like they're.
I can't follow the story because I'm like, what was that? This white man out in the middle of a desert, and he, you know, he looks like a silent movie star.
Yes,
I'm just. I can't get past it. What's going on?
Very distracting.
Yeah, that is not one of my favorites.
Anyway. I don't know. I can't think of any others.
That's all right. That's a good
answer.
Ask me something else.
All right. Is there a TV villain or any villain that you love to hate? Like Nicholas Holt would be a good example from The Great. He's sort of the villain that you just like can't get enough of.
Well, is he a villain or is he a victim?
Well, second season victim, definitely becomes a victim, I think.
By his own doing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Negativity really scares me. Mm. Like, just to even imagine that you could like a villain, it's like, I mean, could you really imagine thinking of Putin and thinking, you know, maybe had a hard childhood. What?
Yeah.
No, this is not a childhood. No.
Yeah.
There's a, no. So I don't go into the darkness
okay.
to support it.
All right.
I can't do it.
No, right. I get that. Do you have a favorite book genre?
A book genre. I love biographies.
Oh.
Because people are interesting. I like that.
What was the most recent one you read?
I've been working. I can't read when I work.
Oh, you know what I do? Biographies are the one that I actually will do audiobooks when I drive. Like if you're ever like driving around a lot.
Yes.
I know you're very you don't live far from work, which you're so lucky, but.
I've only got 3 minutes. It'd take me like 5 years to get through. Yes. You know, sometimes.
Well, have you done Viola Davis? Have you read Viola Davis's book yet?
I have not. Is it? She's
good. I mean, her life is like a movie. They need to make her life a movie soon. Like the childhood she had, so traumatic. I had no idea. It's fantastic. And especially listening to her read it, listening to her tell the story. That's why I always like doing audiobooks and biographies because I love. Rita Moreno's.
Well, I'm about to be unemployed, so I can listen to
her. Have some time
she is sensational.
Yeah.
I have complete, I just honor her as for the gifted person that she is. And coming from that background, I did Vagina Monologues with her in New York.
You did?
And this was, oh gosh, this was... 20 years ago.
Wait, did we do it together? We did. No. Wait. No, you and I worked together on SVU. Right?
That's right.
Yes. That's how we originally got in touch.
Been around. Oh, that's right. Shoot.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I worked with her then and she was just astonishing. And I'm so happy that she's had, you know.
You really got a
career she's having. She just gets better and better and better and better.
She does. The Woman King. I really thought The Woman King was going to be nominated last year. I was so mad that it wasn't. I thought it was so, her performance, everything was like so spectacular.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I forgot her name, but the young woman who played her daughter.
Oh, yeah.
The
cast was insane. Like insane.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, it was also just great for women. I mean, you know, it's very empowering for women of every color, because those fighters They were badass.
Guns, too. I mean, and the fact that it was a true, like, based on what they think is a true story is insane. It was, if people didn't see that movie, like, that, I think everyone needs to go watch that movie if you haven't, because that's
it's important.
It's a good one.
It wasn't recognized? Like, it didn't win any awards?
I don't think so.
That's really surprising.
I don't think so. What is your go-to karaoke song, Annie?
Oh, gosh. I don't really do karaoke.
You haven't done a rap party that's like karaoke or something?
No, I haven't. We did it at Christmas this year, though, which was really we were doing Christmas songs, you know, so we if you want to cry, you do I'll Be Home for Christmas. And if you want to laugh, it's I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. We have these little grandchildren, so we want to do this and
keep it PG.
I can't. I don't really drink much, so it's I think you have to have at least two glasses of wine before you get up and do anything. Anywhere.
Would you ever do like The Masked Singer?
I don't know what that is.
Fox show where you put on a mask and sing and they don't know, and they have to guess who the celebrity is. I did it last year. It was the most terrifying thing I've ever done. I don't sing. I barely
like my favorite. I love it.
it was, I had to make my husband go with me, and like we hid out in LA because I was so afraid. I didn't want to talk to anyone or see anyone. And I was so afraid, and I went and did it, and I couldn't tell anyone for like 2 months. And then it came out. It was so terrifying. But you should. It's honestly like.
Oh God! I think it would be an out of body experience. I think it might kill me.
But that's what's funny.
I think the number one fear in life. You'd think spiders or something, but no. It's public speaking for people to stand up and open their mouths and try to be coherent in front of a group of people. Is the number one fear. People can, you know, it starts young when you're like in first grade and they go, would you stand up and, you know, whatever. But number two is singing in front of people, I think.
For sure. Yeah. That's what you're right. When I don't drink a lot either, but two drinks is what Amanda calls me Two Gin Melissa.
It's a two drink minimum.
Yeah. She calls me, literally, my nickname is Two Gin Melissa by Amanda because I'm most fun when I've had two gins.
It's true. No, she's fun all the time, but you get two gins in her and she's likely to tap dance or.
Yeah. You never know what you're going to get. Three is too much. One is okay, but two is the best.
Oh.
That's the sweet spot. All right. What is there like a reboot of something you liked better than the original? That's a tough one.
Well, gosh, I think Star is Born was pretty good with Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, Judy Garland's pretty good, but I don't know. That's the one that comes to mind.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a great one.
All right, what was your first concert?
I really don't remember. You know, I grew up in rural Kentucky and there weren't a lot of concerts around. I mean, I lived right, 50 miles north of Nashville, and 70 years ago, there weren't a lot of bands coming through. There was some country music, of course, in Nashville. At the time, but wow, I don't know. It must have been in college, and I'm a theater person. So if I had money for a ticket of some kind, I would go to theater, not music.
What was your first show?
My first show, the first show I ever saw on Broadway was called Baby Wanna Kiss. And I think I was 11 or 12, and it starred Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Wow, cool.
And then in the same trip, I saw Blythe Spirit, with the famous, delightful actress named Bea Lilly and Tammy Grimes. And I was like, oh, I think I want to do this.
Oh, so that's like, that's what launched your career, like got you started in the industry?
Yes. I mean, and what a crazy dream that was to have been. I mean, it's like an old movie, you know. She was just a girl on a farm in Kentucky, and here she is.
Here she is.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Well, Amanda's going to ask you, we have these this or that questions. She's going to ask you some this or that's, but
okay.
They're just silly little passings.
Okay, go for it.
Rosé or frosé?
Rosé, if it's just a regular afternoon, frosé if I'm on the beach.
Ah, fair enough. Yes.
That pink wine.
Pink wine.
Drive or be driven?
Be driven. Well, sometimes. Sometimes I just, sometimes driving is the only time I'm ever alone.
Same. Yes. Yep.
So sometimes it's like, yeah, I'll just drive myself. Okay. I want everybody to just.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Brunch or happy hour?
Neither.
Oh.
Brunch. Yeah, don't like breakfast foods and happy hour. It's too early to drink. The evening is ruined.
I agree
so
with that.
I don't like, don't invite actually, me to either one of those.
I think you came and met me and some of the crew from Sheldon once for a drink, but you came late. You showed up a little later.
It's not.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. 5 o'clock. No. Nope.
Yeah. Can't go to sleep right after that. Spotify or Apple Music, or how do you prefer to get your music?
I just tell Alexa what to play.
Yeah.
And if she's very moody, sometimes she will not give it to you. But generally speaking, I just ask Alexa, and I don't know where she gets her music. I don't know how any technology works.
Me neither.
I think we missed
Read the Book. It's great.
Annie, read the book or watch the movie?
Watch the movie. I'm old. I want the cliff notes. I want visuals.
Do you have your phone with you? Because we wanted to ask you one. Oh, is that what you're using? We just want to know how many unread emails.
No,
we're going to judge you right now and decide and want to see how many unread emails you might have.
Are you guessing?
Well, I'm at 22. Amanda's somewhere in the 30,000s. I'm guessing. I have a feeling Annie's more of your people, Amanda.
I am well above 39,000 currently.
39,000?
Thank you, Annie. Thank you.
I feel so much better about myself because I only have 127.
Oh, she's Team Melissa.
You're my team.
But I'm pretty sure those were all from yesterday.
So you clear it out every day?
No. No.
You just don't give people your email address.
But they won't let you in any app. I don't care. If you want to buy some sheets, you know, now everybody in North America has my friggin' email and they're going to let me know.
Yeah. I know. You got to watch out for that stuff. But oh my gosh, this has been so fun, Annie. I can't thank you enough for coming on and talking to us and hanging out with us when you're so busy promoting a movie and finishing your show. And how many more? So there's, do you know what the finale episode of Sheldon is, so we can tell people to watch out for it?
When it is?
Yeah, it's like May? Is it?
I don't know.
What are you wrapping?
We just aired, we wrap April 16th.
And you're on Wednesdays or Thursdays?
Thursdays at 8.
At 8 on CBS. And then it re-airs on
And it's also
Paramount Plus, is it?
Paramount Plus. And, all you have to do is put it in the bubble and it will.
And I still do the old school, you can find it Thursdays at 8. And,
Well, we found too now that we're streaming on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, the viewership, because people love to binge.
That's right.
And I've been just shuffling through my life, just sort of incognito, and all of a sudden, since we went on Netflix, I can't go to the grocery store without seven people going, "Hey, hey!"
Yeah.
And they all report that they've been binging it on Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah, we're the number one show on Netflix now. We're the number one show on CBS,
Paramount, and Paramount.
So of course they canceled us.
but look, Ghostbusters coming out this week. Like, it's gonna be awesome. I'm so excited.
It is gonna be,
and
awesome.
I really hope we get the chance to work together again someday. And I just adore
it. It's happened several times before, so it'll happen again.
Yes, it will. We'll have to work together. I have actually been writing a script, so...
Okay.
I'll send it to you. Maybe we get to work together again. But I adore you. Thank you so much. We're going to make sure everybody watches Young Sheldon, goes to see Ghostbusters.
Thanks,
it's a huge blockbuster. Mwah, mwah, mwah. I love you.
Love you back.
Thank you. Woman at binge.